Welcome to episode 80 of the Unstoppable Podcast with special guest Austin Netsley. My name is Dan J. Gregory, and I am committed to hunting down the secrets of business mastery and human performance. My goal for the Unstoppable Podcast is to share insights from some of the most successful entrepreneurs, inspiring thought leaders, world-class athletes, and prominent celebrities to help you to become unstoppable in business and life. Each week, I'll be bringing you a new interview with an inspiring person and sharing my own results as I pursue the answers to the question, how can I create the ultimate edge in my business, make a significant impact, and live an extraordinary life? Hello and welcome to episode 80 of the Unstoppable Podcast and part 4 of the special Money Mindset series designed to help you to find the financial breakthroughs necessary to experience more financial freedom in your life. In today's session, I'm very excited to introduce you to one of the most successful and inspirational entrepreneurs I've had the pleasure of interviewing as a guest on the Unstoppable Podcast. In today's episode, our special guest is Austin Netsley, and he shares how he went from studying engineering to becoming an investor, best-selling author, and highly successful entrepreneur. And we discuss some of the money principles, beliefs, and practices that have enabled Austin to rapidly ascend in the world of business. Before I tell you a little bit more about Austin and what we have lined up today, let's take a moment to recap the Money Mindset series so far. This Money Mindset series was inspired by the overwhelming response that I received to my episode about money shame, where I shared my own journey with debt and my relationship with money. Over the course of this mini series, I've been bringing you a range of top financial and money mindset experts and entrepreneurs to help you improve your financial well-being and your relationship with money. The series kicked off in part 1, The Art of Money, with special guest Barry Tesler, where we went deep into how to create a positive relationship with money. Part 2 continued with Money, a Love Story, with Kate Northrup, where we discussed how developing financial freedom begins by developing your own self-love and talked about simple money practices that can help you build a more positive relationship with money. Part 3 of the series continued with Financial Wellbeing with Chris Budd, where we discussed how financial wellbeing is not about living the life that others think you should have, but rather living the life that you want, as well as discussing Chris's simple practical advice for enhanced financial wellbeing. In this week's Monday Solo Round, I also shared how to build your support team, where I shared how to build your inner circle, your peer group, and how to use coaches, mentors, and mastermind groups to get ahead with your business and your financial goals. This really was the missing piece to my 5-part financial transformation episode, which I shared with you in last week's Monday Solo Round. As part of this month's Money Mindset series, I'm currently running with a 30-day financial sprint where I'm working hard to make a significant dent in my old debts. If you would like to take part in the 30-day financial sprint, whether you've got a goal to increase your income, increase your earnings, increase your revenue, eliminate debt, reduce your outgoings, start a business, increase your income streams, add a new income stream, then do come along and take part. We're on day 10 right now. If you want to join me, then do come over to the Unstoppable Mastermind on Facebook. Head over to unstoppablepodcast.com/tribe to get involved. That's unstoppablepodcast.com/tribe to get involved. All right, that's us right up to speed. Let's rock today's episode with special guest Austin Netsley. Austin is a book marketing expert and founder and CEO of Epic Book Launch, a leading book marketing company. He helps business owners use their book to establish expert positioning and scale their businesses online. Working with many of today's top thought leaders, Austin and the Epic team have helped authors move over 1 million books globally. Austin is a former college athlete and the number one international best-selling author of Make Money, Live Wealthy, which has been downloaded and sold over 60,000 times. He is the co-creator of 6 Months to Six Figures, where he helps new entrepreneurs to get to their first $100,000 as quickly as possible. Austin has been featured on many of the world's largest business websites and is a regular contributor to Business Insider. And during our time together today, we discuss how to break through any false beliefs about money that are holding you back, how to eliminate financial blocks and break through the financial glass ceiling to build a thriving business and abundant lifestyle. We also talk about the real secret sauce that makes a successful entrepreneur. We discuss all of this and much, much more. So let's get into this. I'm delighted to introduce you to Austin Netsley for part 4 of this special Money Mindset series. Austin, welcome to the Unstoppable Podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to have you on the show today. Our next male guest on this Money Mindset series, looking at giving a very different perspective on money. So please give a warm welcome to Austin. Austin, welcome to the Unstoppable Podcast.
Dan, it is an absolute pleasure. It's an honor. I loved your story. I've connected it with myself. So I think we've got some pretty awesome things to talk about.
Awesome. So for the listeners then, obviously I've given your kind of corporate overview. Tell me in your own words, what is Austin all about? What's your business all about? What do you do?
Well, as always, there's probably a lot to share in just a little blur, but what I'm up to now is I help author entrepreneurs really use their book, as a powerful tool it is, to get it out there, build up their authority, become the go-to authority in their niche, and then ultimately monetize that on the back end. So we've worked with hundreds of authors, some of the biggest names in the space, some people that are making seven, even eight figures, which is millions and millions and millions of dollars in sales on the back end. So that's what we're up to now. But let's jump back a while back. A few years ago, I was in the corporate world. I was an engineer. I started my first investing business, which had some good success. I then quote-unquote retired and traveled around the world, found myself, started this hobby that led to a book that led to what I'm doing now. So everything that I've done is not necessarily related in and of itself, but it's all one stepping stone to the next step and the next step. And I'm excited about where we're headed in the future.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say to the listeners, if you were to press pause and go back and play that over again, that's probably one of the best elevator pitches I've heard in a long time. So if you want to pause and listen to that again and write it down, that's a heck of an elevator pitch in terms of what you're doing right now. So clear, so succinct. So I honor you for having that nailed. That's awesome. So I'm actually going to go and listen to that after and model that. That's awesome. So I want to get into the journey. So escaping corporate, what made you make the decision to do that?
I loved corporate. I really did. I mean, when I was going into college as the, you know, any 18-year-old, I had it all figured out, right? I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to become a CEO of a large company. Corporate was the only thing that I knew. So I was going to get my engineering degree. I was going to get some sales experience after I got out of college. And then I was going to combine that with a MBA. And those three things were going to give me this formula to be like the perfect executive. Nice. And so I was going down that path. Everything was awesome. I worked for an amazing company. And a couple years in, I started to learn that I was in a system. I started to learn that I wasn't in full control of my destiny like I thought I was. And I started reading some books. And as soon as I had those first couple of books, wow, this whole new world that I never knew was out there. And it was one where I could share the messages that I was passionate about. It was one that I could follow and create my own life. It was one that I could have freedom and all these different things that I was searching for. It was one where I could make tens of millions of dollars a year, which would have taken me, you know, 30 plus years to get into in the corporate world, even if I was lucky. So I started to learn that there was other opportunities, and then I started to explore those. And I started my first thing, which was an investing business. And I built that up on the side while I was still working full time, to where I was actually making more money by pressing this on and off button with this algorithm that I created. Nice. Than I was by working full time. And I don't want to go deep into the details of investing, because that's like, it was crazy how much I was working and doing on the side. But I started something on the side. I got some traction, and that gave me hope that I could do it full time.
Awesome. Could you just give a bit of context on the investment? Are you talking investing for others, or doing your own investing? What kind of investment are you talking here?
It was only for me. So I started my first company, but it was only funded by me. I didn't want the stress of managing other people's money. Mm-hmm. But what I did was create an algorithm, which is an automated program based on some different set of principles that would buy or sell different U.S. stocks based on the price activity. Nice. And that would be going, again, I was in sales. I was actually working from home. So this gave me the opportunity to start some of the stuff, to oversee it. Probably my bosses wouldn't be happy if I shared this with them now, but I still performed very, very well for the corporation. I still put in, you know, 40 plus hours a week, if not 50 plus hours a week, and still did all that fine. But starting on the side was really one of the best things that I did.
Awesome. So I do want to take a bit of a leap even further back, because one thing that fascinates me and what I try and get into on the show is all about not looking up to people, but looking into people. And what's fascinating is you talked about your desire when you were going into corporate. You obviously had a very ambitious mindset. Would you mind sharing a little you know, is that something you always possessed? And what's interesting for me as well, particularly for me being in the UK and, you know, a lot of friends and connections in the US, it seems like our upbringings have are very different in terms of the way it instills that kind of desire in people. So would you mind just sharing a little bit about your understanding of where your kind of desire to succeed came from?
That's a great question. And I've thought about that some. And the answer is I don't know where that just insane passion just really comes from. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Whatever it is that I kind of want to do, I have a ton of passion, a ton of energy around making that happen. And when I had this vision of being the CEO of a large company, like that was it. It was a done deal. It wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. And I started heading towards that. But I think the main thing for me drives back to athletics. Mm. I grew up playing multiple different sports. I actually played college football or American football. And always had that, always needed that challenge. Even after college, I then got into marathons for a short period of time. And then after that, it's been all about entrepreneurship, which is like the greatest challenge in and of itself. But always having that challenge, always having that carrot out there. And that's what it's about, really. Like, yes, the money's great. Yes, all these other things are awesome. But it's really about the challenge and growth and the great feeling that you get from that. So as far as the ambition and the passion, I think that's something that is absolutely crucial, because times are tough, whether we're talking about money, entrepreneurship, even a corporate world or whatever. Times are going to get tough. You need that passion. You need that ambition. So you need to be doing something that you're somewhat interested in, that you're getting some good feelings out of by going above and beyond.
I can totally relate to that in terms of the sport. You know, for me, when I really untapped my competitive desire, I joined the rowing squad at university. Mm. And, you know, when I stand up properly, I'm 6'1", you know, 185 centimeters, but I was one of the shortest guys in the boat. You know, we're talking, you know, 6'5", 200 plus centimeters tall, some seriously big guys. So I had to pull exceptionally hard to get my place in the boat and keep my place. So, you know, that really instilled that competitive spirit to want to win and be part of a team as well. So yeah, I can relate to that. So what about you, kind of your family? Were your family entrepreneurial? Did they drive you forward as well?
My family and I didn't even know how to spell the word entrepreneur until I was about 24 or 25. Like, wow. That's the first time I started to really learn about this world. I can say there's literally zero people that I knew in my close life until I was about probably 25. Wow. that were entrepreneurs, that knew anything about it, which is pretty crazy. I mean, again, the only thing that I knew was the corporate world, and that's the path that I took. And it's funny. So when I decided to become an entrepreneur, we can talk like for hours about that story alone. But when I, after I made the decision, I was with my family. We were in a central location between where we all lived, and we were exchanging some Christmas gifts. It was right after Christmas, and we weren't able to get together for Christmas. And I had this one box that I picked up, and I said, "I have one more gift for you guys. And it's for all of you. If y'all just sit down for just a second." And I paused and I said, "I'm quitting my job.
Amazing.
I'm going off on my own." And Dan, you have to see these faces. So my dad's mouth drops to the table like in a cartoon. His mouth is wide open. My sisters look like they're in shock, like they've seen somebody just get killed. My brother-in-law is like, looks confused. There's one person that stands up and starts shrieking, and it's, of course, my mom. Like, that's what moms do, right? It didn't matter what I said there. She would have done the same thing. But they were so shocked. At this point, I had already started making more money on the side than any of them. Mm. And this isn't a thing about them, right?
No, of course.
It's just a mindset shift that leaving the corporate world was crazy. It was insane. It was almost looked down upon, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I had already had some success and momentum, but it was just such a big mindset shift for my family. So that's what we grew up with.
Yes.
And now, obviously, same. They've got that confidence. And now, actually, it's funny. I think some of them want to follow in the path just because they've seen it. And that's the unfortunate thing, is so many different people grow up in that same type of environment where – they don't know that there's a better world out there. Or they, and not to say that one's better or worse. It's just for me, this was the best route that I could have taken, entrepreneurship and whatever.
Absolutely. And again, you know, for me personally, going, there was no one entrepreneurial in my family. I had a similar situation. You know, they definitely didn't see it as a gift. And then, you know, going to corporate, you get caught in the warp. You know, they push you forward, which is great. You get promotion after promotion, boom, boom, boom. And you don't even, the blinkers are on. You don't even look outside to even see there's another world. And I think so many people are trapped in that warp. And many of these interviews I have, especially people who've come from corporate, all feel the same thing. It just took a defining moment for them to suddenly realize there's something more for them.
Yep.
So,
and just along those lines real quick. So I interviewed a bunch of people. I used to have a podcast back in the day, and I interviewed a bunch of super, super, super successful people. And it was amazing to me to find out how many people started in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it's a great thing to start out. I mean, you had a good experience at first. Yes. I had a great experience at first. Like, you get paid to learn. You get paid to see how businesses operate. You get paid to see what the quote unquote real world's like. Like, it's a beautiful system. I was just with Brendan Burchard a few days ago, and he went and did the same thing. He worked for 5 or 8 years for a huge consulting company. He said it was one of the best things that he's ever done. It showed him the behind the scenes of what it takes. Then you can get some momentum. You can potentially start something on the side and take off on your own. So I'm a big fan of the corporate world, just not long term.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it gave me plenty of skills to take with me into the entrepreneurial space. So I definitely recognize that. So let's talk about then, as you moved into your entrepreneurial journey, what I'm curious about, you said obviously there's been many different stepping stones. Some of the biggest challenges I see in amongst the listeners that listen to the show and some of my clients is getting that real clarity about the direction to take as an entrepreneur. And I think a lot of people have this kind of what I call fear of permanence. If you choose one route, that's you locked down again forever. but it's a false reality, because, you know, you start something, if it doesn't work, you do something else. So I'm really curious to understand a bit about your journey in terms of the steps you took to get where you are now in your business, and the different ventures you've taken on, and why you did them and why you left them, etc.
Wow. So you said something that is like totally life-changing for people. Now, so many people out there, you're right, Dan, they think that whatever's happened in the past is like helping dictate what happens in the future. So if they have a degree as a nurse, that they have to stay down that nursing path. No, that's definitely not the case. All right, listen, I'm going to break down. I shared this at the beginning when we started the recording here. I'm going to break down my career path over the last, it's only been 7 or 8 years since I graduated college. Mm-hmm. Okay. Starting out as an engineer, mechanical engineer, I went into the business world. I started then something that was totally unrelated, investing. I made a heck of a lot of money investing. Then I took a short break. Then I started an online blog and podcast just as a hobby, which led to a book. So now I've got engineering, investing, and authorship.
Yes.
All three things are totally unrelated. Engineering, for those engineers out there, we're great at numbers. We're not great at writing words. We're not great at telling stories. So I've already done two things that are the opposite. Okay. So we've got investing, engineering, and authorship. And then from that, I started a quote unquote real business where I have a bunch of employees. So now I've got entrepreneurship as well. So four totally unrelated things, just because those opportunities have come up, those interests of mine have come up. I've kind of committed to making each one of those happen in a successful way. And I just keep using those as stepping stones. So no matter what your past says, it doesn't really matter. It only matters where you want to go in the future. My engineering degree, I've used that, which I will talk about this in a second. I've used that exactly 0 days in my career. So I paid a lot of money to get this piece of paper that did nothing for me in my career. It taught me some base fundamentals. It taught me how to solve problems and some of these things that are absolutely priceless. But I came out of college, Dan, with $81,000 worth of debt.
Yeah, you guys got a heavy $81,000. Big numbers in the US compared to the UK, at least when I went to the uni. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. So talk about starting off the real world on the wrong foot. I mean, from a financial perspective, that was pretty rough, and that was had me pretty distraught, honestly. But I mean, to answer your question, I don't know where I'm headed in the future. Oh, actually, the last piece of that is book marketing. So we go engineering, investing, authorship, entrepreneurship, book marketing. So now my main focuses right now are all around entrepreneurship and book marketing. And I'm now, like, I don't say this to pat myself on the back. I say this with, like, what we get paid a lot of money to do, which is be one of the world leading book marketing people. So in less than 2 years, we've built that status up. So whatever you want to do in 5 years from now, go out and do it, because you can be world class at it. And it doesn't even take 5 years if you do it right.
So the timeline is an interesting conversation. As you were talking, I was thinking this, I'd like to ask you, you know, what, when you go into a new venture, what, how do you set your objectives? How far into the future are you thinking when you start a new venture? And, you know, how you know, in terms of your goal setting process, how far do you look out when you're starting a new project?
That's such a great question. And the answer is, I don't know as well as I should. So what always happens, or what often happens, is something comes up and it looks like it's this key best thing that I can do for the next foreseeable future. And that foreseeable future may be the next 6 months. With investing, that was something that I knew. I figured, okay, if there's one thing that I can learn right now and just grind for the next 12 or 24 months, that's going to set me up for the rest of my life. Investing and money, that's one of those things. So I went all into that as kind of a long-term play. But with my book, I had started the blog and podcast. I wanted to create a business out of that and start to spread the messages that I was passionate about and start to, like, make some money from it. And I looked at the book as a strategic tool to focus on for a six-month sprint to be able to open up those doors. And it wasn't about the book in and of itself. It was more about using the book as a tool. And the book's become so much more than that. But so that one was about 6 months. And then with the bookmarking stuff, I didn't know that I wanted to get into that at all. It was just, I started getting hundreds of questions from people when we had a really, really successful book launch from a very small platform. I had an email list of 440 people, which in the online marketing space is very small, before my book came out. And we made such a big splash that opportunity was just so clear. Like, people were pounding me on the head for information that I realized that I needed to go forward with this. And then when we opened doors, we did a lot of business in our first month that basically said, okay, we're headed down the right path. So what I'm saying is that you don't necessarily need to define the full future. You just need to just keep pushing forward, and those opportunities will become clear. Like, every single one of those decisions has always been a super easy decision. Like, we often stress ourselves out about figuring out all the answers, about, you know, knowing exactly what we want to be when we quote unquote grow up. And so many of the most successful people that I've talked to, let's say the ones that are even 60 years old or older, they still say they don't know what they want to be when they quote unquote grow up.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're moving forward. They're taking advantage of opportunities that are in front of them. They're seeing what the market brings them. And they've always got, you know, 3, 4, 5 great options that they can go after, but they're choosing one. And on the other side of that door, maybe 2, 5 years from now, that changes and they want to go down another direction. And that's perfectly fine. And that's the fun thing about it, is you can, by having that mentality, you're always growing, you're always pivoting. And what I talk about is, like, just being in the season of your life. Like, a couple years ago, I was in complete freedom mode. I was traveling around the world. I didn't have anything to do. I stopped my investing business because I just wanted to, like, just chill and travel. I of course didn't have a job. Like, I was just, like, this most relaxed person in the world, which if you would have saw me a couple years before that, well, I was not the most relaxed person in the world. And that was awesome. And that lasted for about 18 months. But now I'm in a different season where I'm like, how do we build a freaking empire? How do we make $10 million a year? How do we do all these different things? So follow whatever that energy that you're in. Like, you don't want to be changing it every week, but you want to go on these sprints that may last a couple years. They may last 6 months. They may last 10 years, whatever it is. Keep following what you're passionate about and what the best opportunity is in front of you. And the cool thing is, if you do that, you're going to make a huge impact on the world and probably make a heck of a lot of money doing so, which is pretty, pretty awesome. I wish somebody would have taken me by the shoulders and shaken me and told me this about 10 years ago.
But even that said, Austin, you know, you've had such a prolific start in business. You know, for many people, it takes significant amount of years to get where you've got. So what do you think for yourself have been some of the characteristics or tenets that have helped you accelerate the path to success?
This isn't a plug for you, but building an unstoppable mindset. It starts with the mindset. Like, that's number one. Like, growing up, if you put me on a soccer field, I had insane confidence. I just knew I was going to score a couple goals. I knew that we were probably going to win. I knew that, you know, I was good. But you take me out of that and you're like, you put me in like a school dance or try to get me to talk to a girl there or try to get me to speak up in class and get up in front of the room and like read a paragraph or something. No way. I had zero confidence in that world, which is the real world. But what I've been able to build, starting at probably as soon as I went to college and definitely progressing through about the age of 25, was some internal belief, some internal confidence. And I didn't really know what I was doing until I started to read books like from Tony Robbins and a bunch of different people. And I started reading about 24. And once I did that, I was reading like, you know, a couple books a week just because I just couldn't get enough. Like, there's so much information, such a whole new world. And they were teaching me so many different things that once I was able to kind of master my mindset, then I was in total control of my future. And that's when my finances started to take off. That's when my life in every area started to take off, because once you have that mindset, you've got the base. That's the hardest part, because we're our own biggest enemy 99% of the time. There's only one thing that's always holding us back from what we want to achieve. It's not the president. It's not this. It's not that. It's our own mindset. And so we've got to do everything that we can to develop that, which I love what you're talking about here. And so confidence, internal belief, being unstoppable, all these things, it's basically your belief in yourself to figure stuff out. So if you go through some hardships and you survive and you figure out a way to figure some stuff out, well, you just build this resiliency that after a few quote unquote failures, you've got this resiliency. You got this belief that, you know what? Bring it on, life. I'm going to be able to figure this crap out. And once you have that, you are unstoppable. Then you can make the right decisions. Then you can kind of, you know, put some money behind your ideas or at least just move forward and make the proper decisions that you know. Because oftentimes, Dan, we know what to do. We know what we should do. We just don't do them because we don't have that belief in ourselves. So the number one thing that I did was really kind of build that internal belief. And I don't want to, you know, like, you don't have to be cocky. You don't have to stand on top of a mountain, like pound your chest. You just need like that own internal belief that comes like from within, that you're not like, yeah, all right, I'll figure it out. Crazy situation happened. All right, I'll figure it out. Getting sued. All right, I'll figure it out. Like, just having that, just go down the line.
Do you have any particular examples or cases where you can remember that really formed that deep belief inside of you?
Oh, man, great question. I think the major thing when you're talking about the mindset is it happens in such small increments over a long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so when we start out as kids, we're free, we're happy, we're creative, and then we get in typical society and we have rules and we get in trouble and we have embarrassment and we have all these things, and then we just slowly, we can't see it, we can't feel it, but over a period of years, we're getting channeled into more and more and more and more and more being restricted and being our own biggest enemy. And what you've got to do is take those off. So a couple of different things that I've done to help kind of further expand those elements back to where they were, to being completely free as we're actually born. And a couple of those things are, number one, changing the people that I hung out with. Like, my friends in college, a couple of them, some people would call them obnoxious or even cocky. But I was on such the other side of having zero confidence by hanging out with people that were extremely, had some really, really strong belief in them, in themselves, and in their abilities, was just so, positive yeah. for me to see, to pull me up, to at least be halfway. Mm. Like, I had to go to the full extreme. Like, Donald Trump, for instance, for those of you guys that know him, is one of the most confident, if not the most confident person in the world. Same with Kanye West. And I don't like those people individually, but I love their confidence that they have. And when I, you know, listening to music, listening to Kanye West, some of his lyrics are ridiculous, but just by hearing him, you're getting more confident in yourself. You're getting yes. that, some of that attitude, which is awesome. Like, you need that, for lack of a better term, you need that swagger about yourself. Again, don't pound your chest like he does, but whatever you can do to get that. So the environment, people around me, changing that was the first major step. The second major step was reading books and just kind of being conscious about, oh my gosh, I've had this middle-class mindset my entire life. Like, mm-hmm. what the hell have I been doing? I've been holding myself back. Like, just having that awareness is great. And that's number two. And number three is having those actual experiences, putting myself out there, trying to build an investment business from scratch where I self-taught. I didn't have one mentor for that business. That's freaking hard to do. Once I got through that, that was like the last thing where I was like, I am ready. I am unstoppable in my own mind. Like, let's do it. Like, I left the corporate world, I left a six-figure salary. They were paying me a lot of money. I was ranked very, very highly and, you know, ready to go up to whatever level I wanted to. And I left with the most peace I've ever had in my life, just because I had that own internal belief in myself that I was going to be able to figure it out. I had zero stress. It was the craziest feeling, because I had never, ever, ever had that up to that point.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we kind of transition into some more mindset stuff around money specifically, I'm just curious to know, what has been your most proud moment so far as an entrepreneur?
My most proud moment, actually, I was just talking with somebody about this recently, is actually my book. So I have a book called Make Money, Live Wealthy, and I'm not pitching it like I'll give it to you for free. I didn't do it for the money. I'm most proud of that because it's not like my life's work. Like, yes, in the future, I'll have a New York Times bestseller and do, you know, a much, much, much bigger, longer, better book. But the thing that I'm most proud about is, like, I haven't promoted or even tweeted about this book or been on a podcast in a long time. Like, I haven't even sent anything about it in probably 18 months. But every single week, Dan, I'm like getting messages from people all throughout the world, from countries I've never even heard of. So I'm most proud of it, not for the things that it's opened up or the money that it's made, but for like the way that it's impacted the world. Like, when I was in the corporate world, I was working for a big oil company, making a lot of money, but I wasn't changing the world in that type of way. And when I started branching out and becoming a real entrepreneur in the way I see it now, by getting some messages out there, giving some content, doing some different things and sharing it with the world that I've been fortunate to learn, I started to like get that feeling of purpose for the first time in my life. And that is just absolutely priceless. So that's why I'm so, so proud of the book, just from a matter of changing the world in my own way.
So I'm curious as well now, my curiosity brain always kicks in. So I would like to know, what's driving you now, and how is that different from how you were driven when you first started in your kind of entrepreneurial journey? What are you focused on at right now? Like, what's spurring you forward? What lights your fire, and how is that different from when you started?
Great question. The big things that are driving me now are challenge, are growth, are impact. I want to build an empire. I want to change the world. We've been fortunate to move over 1.5 million books for authors in the past 18 months or close to 2 years. And that, like, I'm just so, so proud to do that, because books changed my life. They opened up all these different doors and opportunities that I never knew even exist. And now I'm just doing my small part to be able to share that with the world and help move like over 1.5 million books. Like, that's freaking awesome. Hopefully we've changed millions of lives. So I want to continue to do that. But I talk about challenge. Like, I just love, like, we work with really smart people. We work with author entrepreneurs. So they've got their business. Oftentimes they're just too busy to like worry about the book details, but they've got a great message to share. They've got some type of successful business. So we get to work with awesome people. We get to dive in and be the experts that, you know, they just don't know a lot about what we do, which is like perfectly fine. They shouldn't. They should focus on their business, which is great. So it's just so much fun. Like, and to go from 2 years ago, I didn't know anything about book marketing. Mm-hmm. Nothing mm-hmm. at all. I didn't have my book out. I didn't have an email list even. I didn't have all these different things. And within that period of time, now people are paying us a lot of money to be the book marketing expert for them. So the challenge of being able to figure that stuff out, like even just in the last 2 years, things are changing rapidly. Like the way that we promote, the way that, you know, even Facebook works and everything, like all these things are always, so we've always got a big challenge in front of us. And that is like so much fun to me. Like that just drives me internally. Nice. But the impact, like, is just freaking awesome. Like one of my favorite things in the world. So we work with people that are just starting out and they're trying to, you know, do this entrepreneurship thing full time. Like when people get to their first $10,000 a month and they're able to support their family, or they're able to quit their job, or they're able to do something that they're like, I tear up when I get those messages. And like, I didn't tear up, but maybe three or four times in a period of a decade before, mm-hmm. you know, I started doing some of these things. So like that stuff is just awesome. Like, yes, you know, the building a $10 million empire is like awesome, but that type of stuff is just freaking awesome. And the other benefit of that is like with most of the authors that we work with, like they're spreading a good message. So I can't even tell you like all the number of people and the ways that we're changing the world. So anyhow, this is a long answer. So those types of things are what drive me now. The thing that drove me at first was one simple thing, and that was money.
Mm.
And that, how do I make money? How do I make more money? Every single day I was thinking about money, money, money. Like that's, how do I do it? So investing was just a natural way. Like that's, you know, watching the Wall Street movies, I figured, hey, that's the way. That's how I'm going to, you know, make my first million in my 20s. And fortunately, you know, it's helped me do all of that, right? And it was a great decision, especially for the long term. But I stopped that business that is worth a lot of money because I got nothing else out of it.
Mm.
It was me and a computer interacting. That's it. It was terrible. I had no, like the fun in that was like trying to crack the code and come up with my algorithm. And then it was fun for a couple months to, of course, like make money on autopilot. But other than that, like it was still stressful because it was up and down and, you know, lots of money being traded. It was still like just something there, but there was no interaction with people. There was no strategy. There was no like community. It just sucked. So my desires went from how do I make money? Once I started making money, then I moved on to well, that didn't fix all my desires and needs and problems.
Yeah.
So what do I really want? Well, I really want freedom. So then I went towards freedom. And having freedom as my goal was a much better idea because it was so much more impactful, so much more tangible. And so that's when I really started to use money as a tool to get me what I really wanted, which was freedom. And now that I've been able to, you know, be financially free and do all these things financially, now it's a matter of impact, building a team of awesome people, changing the world. Doing fun projects that I think are awesome, and just continuing to move forward with the best projects at the best time. So that's a long-winded answer to your question.
It's great, and it leads us nicely kind of to the money mindset piece. Because do you believe, this is an interesting point, do you believe that it is kind of a rite of passage when you first start out that you have to focus on money to get started? You know, is that a necessary component versus, you know, if someone's listening to this right now and saying, actually, I'm going to skip that step and just focus on freedom, do you think it's a necessary step at the outset?
Oh, yeah. It's 100%. And most people will probably disagree with me on that, but I think it's 100% needed, from my opinion, to start with the money. And not necessarily start with how can I make $1 million. It's a matter of starting with where you're at right now.
Yeah.
How much money do you have going out the door? What are you spending money on? How much debt do you have? Where are those, like, what's the details of those debt? How much are you paying in interest? You know, what's your minimum payments? If you get clear on your current situation, which is the first step after starting to fix your mindset, if you get super clear on what's going on financially, the solution oftentimes becomes clear. But until you kind of address the current situation and trim some of the fat, like, you know, cut out 20% of expenses or whatever you want to do, You can't move forward. So don't focus on freedom first, because then you'll be still in debt 3 years down the line. And you won't be addressing the things. Like, I had to get out of debt before I could make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my number one thing. $81,000 worth of debt, I paid it off in less than 3 years. That was my number one focus. Yes, I could have put all that towards the stock market. Yes, I could have, you know, quit my job and done something else. But no, I would have still had that debt behind me. Like, once I got rid of that debt, then I had some freedom. I had more flexibility to be able to go and do the things that I wanted to do, the things that I thought I should do, right? Mm-hmm. So start with where you're at right now. Get a super clear picture. Then you can create a game plan for what to do. So I got a super clear picture of, here's the money coming in, here's the money going out, here's my outstanding debt. Then I created a plan to attack that debt. And then once I had that debt, I had zero debt. I was, you know, 24 or 25, then I could really focus on 100% of my energy on making more money and doing the investing and building that up. And then once I got to the freedom standpoint, then, you know, you can make the big decisions, such as I quit my job, traveled around the world, did nothing for 18 months, you know, started a hobby, wrote a book, did things that were just like not gonna, in the short period of time, generate any money, just because I had everything passive by then. So do it step by step, and I think that's the best way to go.
And Austin, do you remember, once you'd cleared your debt, do you remember the first financial goal that you set once you kind of reached that baseline?
Well, even before I got rid of my debt, like, as soon as I graduated college, I was like, all right, done deal. By the age of 30, I'm going to be a millionaire.
Nice.
And that was like, it was another one of those situations where, like, I made the decision like so strongly in my mind that it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. So, all right, well, a couple years later, I started to think, well, shoot, I've got to hit that goal. I've still got some debt left. Well, the corporate world's not going to do it. Yes, I'm making six figures in the corporate world already, but that's not going to like let me get to a millionaire status. Well, this entrepreneurship thing really sounds even more appealing right now, right? So it all kind of adds up. But having some big goal and you know, hitting $1 million is great. Like, that's freaking awesome. Like, it's awesome. But it's more about the freedom. It's more about the opportunities that it opens up for you. It's more about getting outside of this path that you think you have to go down. And when you have any type of flexibility to make a better decision for you and your family, like, that's a great thing. But getting out of debt in and of itself was just an absolutely priceless feeling, because that was my first major goal.
So this is what I want to go into next. So a lot of the conversations I had with the girls we talked before we started the show around kind of the masculine and feminine approach to money, a lot of the conversations I've had with Kate and Barry around kind of money blocks, and the emotional side of money, and yeah, as we discussed, I really want to kind of get a masculine perspective on this. So in terms of your own journey and people that you've surrounded yourself with, what has your experience been when it comes to kind of the emotional journey when it comes to money, and what advice would you give to people who are perhaps hitting a ceiling, or they're just finding themselves frustrated, unable to create the next level of financial abundance? What are your kind of principles and advice for people who want to up level their financial success?
I would say the secret, and I didn't create this, I forget who I learned this from, is to not in necessarily raising the bar, it's actually in lowering the bar. So what does that mean? So most people, like, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I'm going to become a millionaire in the next 5 years. And like, that's great. Like, you want this thing that like just drives you. You want this thing like, and you want to believe that like to your core. But if you think of like this huge ambitious goal and you're, you know, starting at ground zero, it's more a matter of like, all right, how do I make that happen? Well, you make that happen by making your first $1,000. All right. So if you focus on the smaller goals, that's the only way to ultimately have these huge dreams come true. So especially talk about masculine and feminine. Masculine's like, all right, I've got this huge goal, I'm gonna figure it out. And that was me, right? And what I did with investing, I was like, all right, I'm going to break this down to its smallest component. I'm not trying to make $1 million in investing. My goal this month is to make 2.2% positive return. That's manageable. I could do that. I could feel that. I could aim for that. I could measure it. And by doing that, okay, great, I accomplished that. Now let's do it the next month, and let's do it every single month. Let's move it up to 2.7%. And by doing that, the compound effect is real. All right. If we're talking about your confidence in yourself, if we're talking about your money, if we're talking about investing, all these different things, the compound effect is real. So what you've got to do is just put one foot in front of the next time after time after time after time. You don't feel the changes in the moment. The goals that you set often take twice as long as you really want them to, but you build some momentum and you build that up faster and faster and faster. We overestimate what we can accomplish in about 6 weeks, but we underestimate what we can accomplish in 6 months or 6 years. So if you just commit to becoming a better you, if you commit to just making the right decisions long term and doing these things and just improving, then the results are going to come. But masculine energy just so much focuses on biting off more than we can probably chew in realistic, because life gets in the way sometimes. And I don't want to say like lower your goals. No, it's just a matter of setting this big goal, but more importantly, understanding on what's the thing that you're going to focus on right now. All right. Again, you don't have to figure out the next 20 years. You don't have to know what that looks like. You just got to figure out where you want to go long term. And what's step A, B, and C? What are those first things that you can just really focus on to get there? Because the opportunities will come, and it's hard to be patient. It's hard to step back and do all that. It's hard, and it's an emotional struggle to go through that, where you're not getting the results. You see people around you that are making a lot more with what looks like a lot less effort, and that pisses you off.
Yeah.
Right. I was in that situation when I started out as an online entrepreneur. There were some people around me that were crushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was working my butt off once I started to take it seriously. And in 9 months, I made $2,200, which, you know, is fine for some people. But for me, that was like pennies compared to what I had made before.
Yeah.
And I saw these people around me just making millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars per month. And by comparing myself to them, I started to get myself down again. But then I was like, no, that's not right. I listened to Dan Gregory. I'm unstoppable. I'm going to figure this out. Nice. I did some things just a little bit more strategically. I stepped back, which is another hard emotional thing to do, is to like go forward, get in the weeds, grind, 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 step back, look at the big picture. Take some time and then get back in the weeds, dive, 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 grind, 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 step back. So by doing that, I think you're just going to set yourself, you know, well ahead of where you otherwise would.
That's some rock solid advice. And it's just interesting. The comparison piece is interesting. I had Vince Del Monte on the show here, you know, a very prolific fitness entrepreneur. And, you know, the people he surrounds himself with, it's just interesting hearing his stories, how, you know, this guy's prolific. And he was talking about his following being small, and he's got, you know, million plus followers just because of people that he surrounds himself with. And we're just having the context of comparison. And it's if you don't get that under check, it's going to be damaging. The next piece I just want to get into is a lot of people I see experience some level of resistance when it comes to raising their prices. And I know it's all linked to belief, self-worth. Have you experienced that in your journey at all, in terms of, you know, when you're looking to raise your prices or you know, whatever you're charging? Have you had an experience where you felt an inner resistance to what you're worth? And if you have, how have you conquered that? And if you haven't, what advice would you give?
We see this every single day. And it started with our own situation. All right. When I opened doors, I didn't know what the real need was for in the marketplace for what we offer. We started offering a done-for-you book launch, which guaranteed number one international bestseller on Amazon for $2,000, which is a lot of money. But there's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a lot of strategy that I put in behind the scenes to build out this process. And I actually have a process that's 561 steps. It's wicked detailed, nice. That we go through for every single launch. And anyhow, this thing is worth, if you become a number one international best-selling author, if you build up your email list and get the media attention, do all these different things that a successful book launch will do, it's worth, in your career, potentially $1 million. And here we're charging $2,000 for it. And we quickly moved that price up because we sold out, you know, way more than we could handle in the first month at that price, of course, and just kept raising the price. Same exact thing that we were offering a couple months later was $15,000. So here we're doing this work for $2,000, or we could do it for $15,000. One person for 15, or 7.5 people for $2,000. Like, that's a lot of work. Yes. So with our own situation, what we've found, and this is true for probably everybody, is we were totally discounting what we do know. We were discounting the value that we provide. And also, as we've raised our price, it's helped improve the quality of people that we work with. So Absolutely. They get better results because they have, you know, more potential or a bigger audience or something. They're easier to work with because they understand business. They've, you know, probably had some success. They're not fighting about, you know, the money as much as they're interested in the long term, potentially. So by raising our price, we've been more profitable. We've made a bigger impact on the world. We've helped, you know, move a lot more books, and it's been a win-win-win all the way around. But it's hard to really value, you know, what your true worth really is. So when you start out, you don't know the pricing, and you don't need to know that necessarily. But what you do need to do is adjust quickly. And so many people that we work with, we like tell them to literally double their prices right away, because at the end of the day, your services are 50% about positioning. Mm. And if you can get the positioning right, you can just literally do nothing else and double your prices, and you're going to double your revenue. You're still going to get the same, if not more, clients. But, and also one thing, like, we're offering our new program for $1,000, and it's an insane value. Like, I just can't believe if somebody doesn't buy it. And then I should think that because it's my product, but it's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I forget where I was going with this story, but the pricing. But anyhow, we'll go to the next question because I totally forget where I was going to go.
We've got just a little bit of time left. So why don't we, what would be useful is to, before we go into the kind of quick fire final round, is for the listeners now, what's the best way for them to find out more about the work that you do? And based on everything you've talked about in terms of the book, using books as positioning tools, etc., who would be a really good client for your business? You know, if someone's in business right now, who should start thinking about using books, and how can they find out more about to work, your work, and how to work with you?
Yeah. So you can find out more about me at austinnetzley.com. That's Austin, as in Nancy, Etzley. Or you can go to our main business website right now, which is epic-launch.com. That's all about the book launches. So we help author entrepreneurs with book marketing. We help them use their book as a tool to get media attention, become an authority. So if you have an online business, or if you want to do speaking, or if you, you know, just want to spread your message to the world, if you see yourself potentially being an author, which you should, an author is the best business card that you'll ever have. It's the best door opener for anything that you do. And it's a great, great supporting tool if you have a podcast or if you have an online business. Just I recommend it wholeheartedly. If you look at the people that you probably follow, the Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, all these people, what's that one common element? Well, they have a book, right? So if you are an author entrepreneur, and we can help you in a big way. But it's all about using the book as a tool. Yes, we've made a lot of money and royalties from the book, but we've opened up so many more doors by using it as a tool. And you can find out more at epic-launch.com.
Awesome. So then I've just got two final questions for you. So the first one is, you talked about how important books have been in your entrepreneurial journey. What has been the most impactful book that you've read that's really, really helped you catapult your success?
I would say How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This book teaches you how to carry yourself in the world, how to communicate. And if you can communicate in a strong way, if you can just be a positive light in the world, like, you're going to attract so many opportunities. So that book really just blew me away, because at that point in time, I was a hardcore engineer. I couldn't communicate in any way, shape, or form. I was really pretty self-centered and focused on myself. That book opened my eyes and ultimately my life.
Great tip. I haven't read that since back in the corporate days. I must bring that one forward again. I bet it would be a game changer right now. So the final question is, Austin, we've kind of talked about what the unstoppable mindset means to you, but I always ask every single guest, what does being unstoppable mean to you?
Unstoppable means just having the internal belief that I talked about before, that no matter what you want to do in the future, you know that some way, somehow you're going to figure it out. You're going to make it happen. And once you do that, you move forward full speed. You don't let things bring you down. You don't let things stop you from doing what you really want to do. You've just got that confidence. You don't, again, have to pound your chest, but you just know that no matter what happens, you're going to figure it out. And if you have that, you've got a just priceless feeling, but you are unstoppable.
Austin, you are unstoppable. I want to thank you for unleashing your greatness on the Unstoppable podcast today. It's been a phenomenal episode. I've learned so much, and it's been a fascinating conversation. So I want to thank you on behalf of myself and the listeners for an awesome show today. Thanks so much, Austin.
Dan, I love what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you to Austin for helping me to create such a hugely inspiring episode. I had many personal breakthroughs just listening to Austin's story, and I hope that you did too. Please come and share what you took away from the episode on the blog at danjgregory.com and in the Unstoppable Mastermind on Facebook. Before we shut it down for the day, I want to remind you about my 30-day financial sprint, which is taking part throughout the whole month of November. So come and join in if you have a financial goal that you would love to achieve this month. If you're not already involved and you're ready to play catch up, then we will sprint with you. So come and join in the fun over at unstoppablepodcast.com/tribe. I'll be back on Monday with another solo round where I'll be talking about money mindset when it comes to what you charge for your products and services in business. This comes following a conversation that I had recently with a client about coaches who build businesses versus coaches who have a hobby. So be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform to never miss a word. And I would be extremely grateful if you kindly share this episode with others. But until next time, go out there, unleash your greatness, build your empire, make your impact, and live your ultimate life. You are unstoppable.